rest. Good to see all of you back. Good to have visitors with us as well here tonight. Don't forget, men, if you're going to the men's retreat and have yet to get your funds in, please get those in. We'll be headed out Friday morning at 10:30. Brother Hector and Brother Chris Mann is possibly going to fly up, so please be in prayer for them. They had room for one more, but it had to be somebody under 200 pounds. So that ruled me out. I think you just did that to not to invite me. Not that I would have went, but please be in prayer for them. I hope it works out. I think they'll enjoy it. Possibly one of Brother Hector's friends will be going up with him too. And so if you're under 200 pounds and he has room, he said he could take somebody over 200 pounds, but he has to take less fuel. That didn't sound like a good option to me. Not at all. So I'll just take the bus with a full tank of gas. All right. Honduras fundraiser, March 4th, the silent auction. Along with the silent auction is going to be a strawberry shortcake sale. There will be a $4 donation. If you're on the Honduras team, there will be a sign up for items that to bring. So if you're on the team, please sign up first and fill in some spots. It'll be over here. And of course, church, if you want to help, that'll be a great fill in any other spots there. This will be in, it'll be at the same time the silent auction. So to help you spend your money on the silent auction, we've chose to feed you sugar there. So that'll be a big blessing and that'll help us. The Honduras team is leaving March 17th. It's less than 30 days away. So it's right around the corner. Be in prayer for that. Brother Dwayne is already preparing, getting ready for us down there. And so be in prayer for that as we make our way down there, that we'd be a blessing. We'll use our time wisely as we travel there and back, and will be a help to the people of Honduras and the churches down there as well. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 16. We're finishing up the book of Mark tonight. We have been some time going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Mark. We'll be in Mark 16, verse number 9, and we'll read down to verse number 20. And at this point, I feel confident that this will be the last night in the book of Mark, unless the Lord has some other plan. We will get down and finish the book of Mark. I've really enjoyed studying the verses of the book of Mark all the way through. It's really been a blessing to me. Mark chapter 16, verse number 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that what had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. This here, as you read this last portion, almost kind of throws the picture off of Ripley's Believe It or Not. You know, Lord's risen. I don't believe it. He shows up to some other ones. He finally gets them to understand the Lord's risen. Oh, I don't believe it. Believe it or not, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. The Lord is alive and evermore liveth. And He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for you and I. It's amazing, though, as we get here and we notice what the Lord says here and who He appears to first. He appears, you might say, to a trophy of grace. One that been... You would think, I mean, if it was me, I would have thought it had been John the Beloved. That'd been a good one. I mean, he was always there by the Lord, spent time with Him, laid upon His bosom, and, you know, spent time around Him constantly. But here on the resurrection of the Lord in verse number 9, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. You remember last week we read the verse where He told her, He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Another trophy of grace. You know, Peter kind of messed up many times throughout his walk with the Lord. You know, and actually, according to Scripture, as you look and read through it, at one point, Peter actually rebuked the Lord himself. I mean, just grabbed him and said, this ain't going to happen. This ain't going to be. Denied the Lord, wiped off the ear of another fellow there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he appeared first to Mary Magdalene there. And seven devils had been cast out of her. And, you know, just I think the reason the Lord does these type of things is to show us that there's none of us too low. We can't get far enough away from God that His grace cannot touch us. And boy, whenever He gets into our lives, things change. Peter changed, didn't he? Came a mighty man of God, preached the word with power. People got saved as they heard the gospel there preached in Acts chapter 2. Mary Magdalene, now there was seven demons, devils within her. And now she's there, a faithful servant, faithful worker of the Lord as He arises there on, guess what? First day of the week, which would have been what? Sunday. And this is where we get the pattern, where we worship the Lord and remember His resurrection every Sunday. It's a pattern. It's where He appeared. And you'll notice as your other correlating passages, you remember Thomas was not there, Didymus. Thomas was called Didymus. He wasn't there the first go-around. And the Lord had to come back next Sunday to deal with him and get him to understand. And so it was kind of a pattern there. I thank God for Easter. I really do. I really enjoy the holiday. It's a time that the world, all the way around the world, recognize and look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we, who are Bible believers and followers of Christ, every Sunday should be a remembrance to us. On the first day of the week, the Lord met with those whom He loved. You know, He could have ascended up into heaven and just gone, and it would still been a done deal. But He didn't. He came back and He wanted to those that He loved and walked with and spent time with, He wanted them to know, and He wanted them to know so that we could know by testimony and by witness of those. The Bible says that He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And you know, and He was seen above 500, according to Scripture, during this time. And God wanted us to have the evidence. And so He appeared first there to Mary Magdalene, which I just say was, you know, just God's grace. And look, you're not what you was, because I am who I am. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, we can find ourselves in a mess as humans, ain't we? Boy, we can get ourselves all tied up. I can't imagine the life this woman must live with seven demons and devils inside. I mean, it must have been a horrific life until the Lord set her free, dear friend. But I know that I have personally walked down some roads that, Lord God, it's a shameful thing to even talk to think about. But when God's grace moved in, boy, he takes that and casts it as far as the east is from the west. He puts it off in the sea of forgetfulness, and his blood is sufficient, and it has cleansed me and made me whole, and I have been forgiven for all that stuff that I've done in the past, all that stuff that I did today, and all that stuff I'll do tomorrow. God's grace is good. Boy, he wants us to know that, and he appeared there to him. She went there in verse 10. If you would, look there again at verse 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Boy, there was there. It was a difficult time in their lives. And they were mourning. They were weeping. But look over in Luke 24. Luke 24, the correlating passage. We'll be back there in Mark. Luke 24, verse number 9. Luke chapter 24, verse number 9. Luke 24, verse 9, the Bible says, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You know, sometimes as you're walking through your life and you sit forth to be a witness, a testimony for the Lord, and the Bible says that we should be. Acts 1:8 says we shall be witness unto him after the Holy Ghost come upon us. And you go and you want to tell your story. You want to tell about the Jesus that loves you and the Jesus you love. And you begin, and it just seems people don't believe you. You're not the first one. You're not the first one to believe. Here you have the 11 disciples that are left. Of course, Judas is dead by now. He's done hanged himself, and you know, he's out of the picture. But you have the 11 disciples who have spent, according to historians, 3.5 years walking upon this earth with the Lord. The Lord told them on multiple occasions, not just once, but he told them on multiple occasions, I'm going to be taken, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again. Now just listen, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He spoke truth. He spoke it to them personally. Now when it's happened, you didn't believe it. None of them. What are you talking about? It seemed as idle tales. It seemed as though they were making up some kind of story. Hey, don't be disheartened when people don't believe your story. Don't let it discourage when people don't listen and hear what you've got to say about what Jesus has done for you, because you're not the first one. Not the first one at all. You remember the rich man there in Luke, as he died and lifted his eyes in hell, and Lazarus, the beggar, laid his feet. He died, and the angels carried him off unto Abraham's bosom, and the conversation goes back and forth between the rich man in hell and Abraham. Is back and forth as they went. And Abraham said, listen, those that are there where you're at in hell cannot come hither, and those that are here where we're at, they can't go there. So there throws out the whole thing of purgatory, because they can't come here, can't go there. It's a big gulf fix. It's impossibility. And the rich man thought in his mind, in the torments and in pain and in suffering, thought in his mind, he said, well, send Lazarus back. Surely they will believe him. I mean, listen, you know, the answer is no, they wouldn't, because you didn't believe Lazarus the whole time he laid at your gate. You had no belief. And you know, so, well, I've got 5 brothers. It is good to be concerned about those that are lost. But after the fact, doesn't do us a bit of good. And Abraham said, they got the prophets, they got the law. Oh no, but if they just one was risen from the dead. They didn't believe. And these had walked with him and heard him say, had heard him, you know, talk with him. Back over there in verse number 12 and 13, you notice here in verse 12 and 13, after that he appeared unto in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Look over in Luke chapter 24 again, Luke chapter number 24, and verse number 13. We're going to read a lengthy passage here, but I think it'd be helpful to us. Luke 24, verse 13. And we're going to read down to verse 32. Luke chapter 24, verse 13, the Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Talk about the crucifixion. They talked about, there was musing over it. Verse 15, "It came to pass that while they were communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." They had their eyes upon the problem of the day, the problem of the hour, the difficulty of the moment. We've been there, haven't we? There's been times in our Christian walk that we have, you know, walked through the valley of the shadow of death and thought we walked it alone. We didn't see Jesus. We didn't know that he was there with us. He's always with us. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And we've been there exactly where they're at. And they, and verse number 16. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" That's a good question, isn't it? Because Jesus said, "I'd rise again. Third day is going to come." Now you're talking about all this stuff that has happened. Now you're walking communion and you're sad. Verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. Verse 21, But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Boy, they're almost there, aren't they? They almost got the whole story, but the problem of life and the burden that they're carrying has hindered them from seeing the whole truth. This is the third day. What did Jesus tell them the third day? On the third day, I must rise again. Verse 22. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." Why they didn't see him? He had risen. He was not there. Man, they know the story. I mean, they down to the thing. They've already been there. They've had witness come back. They saw the sepulchre. He's not there. Verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses," pay attention to what happens here, "and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them." Guess what happened? "And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Verse 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us," what? "The scriptures." You know why the problems are? They overwhelm us. And our hearts are so heavy and we cannot see. We do not look into the promises of God. We look for something else. We look for some other answer. We look for somewhere out there. These folks had a heart problem right now. They were weighted down heavy with the cares of the Lord had been killed. They had saw His body on the cross and the meagreness of His body. They saw the lifelessness of His body. And who knows, they may have been standing off the side when Joseph of Arimathea took His body down and it was given to him and Nicodemus. And they may have saw Him put Him into the tomb. They may have even been there when the tomb was rolled in front of it, dear friend. But they could not see the whole truth because they failed to see Scripture. What did Jesus do? He went from the beginning in the Word to the prophets and expounded everything unto them concerning Himself. You know why we can't get past our problems? We're looking for the answers in all the wrong places. You got to get in the Bible. You know when they knew, got the answer? Well, I'm going to get it in a vision. I'm going to get it in a dream. I'm going to get it. You don't get it out of the Word of God, dear friend, you're not going to get it. God speaks through His Word. He's canonized and closed 66 books. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Been there. Cares of this world, the heartaches, the pain, suffering through, arguments and bitterness and fightings and disputes and health problems and whatever. And boy, we try to struggle through them in our made man power, and we cannot get through. It's like we're like climbing up a hill or a side of a mountain, and the rocks, every time we take a step forward, the rocks come loose and we just slide right back down. Why? Because we're not standing on the truths of the Word. It's solid. Our emotions aren't. My experiences are not solid. I've been through quite a few experiences in my life, dear friend, that have been good experiences. But, dear friend, those are just unique to me. The Word of God is for all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. And boy, they believe not. And look in verse number 14, back over in our text real quick. Back over in Mark. Verses 14. Afterward, He appeared unto 11 as they sit at meat and upbraided them. You hear that? And He upbraided them. Why? Because of their unbelief and the hardness of the heart. You know what happens in unbelief? Heart gets hard. You know, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews that it's impossible to please God without faith. You have to take God at His Word, dear friend. Believe what He says and follow through. Life is hard. He never promised us a bed of roses, dear friend. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He walked a hard life. And He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. That's just how it's going to be. He upbraided them. Why in the world was He getting on to them? Because Hebrews says He chases those whom He loved. He's got a job for them to do. God's got a job for you to do. He don't want you sitting around mullet grubbing, all sad and beat down in the blues. He don't want you underneath a juniper tree like Jonah. He wants you to be up and doing some great things for Him. And, you know, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Don't let your emotions, don't let your experience, don't let your day rob you of the power of God. Man, He upbraided them because of their unbelief. Because of the hardness of their heart, they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. But He just got on to them. Why? Because He had a job to do. What was the job? He got right to it, didn't He? Isn't it amazing how the Lord laid it out there, got on to them? You're wrong here, you're wrong here, you're wrong there. And then He said, this is the answer. The answer is, go preach the gospel. Get it to all the world. Tell them that that Jesus loves them. Tell them that I died and I rose again the third day, and the power of the resurrection is the gospel. All together, and it is the proof that I love them. Man, get out there and get busy. He said to them in verse 15. And in verse 16 he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Boy, they grab all that and they just say, you got to be baptized. You ain't going to get saved unless you're baptized. You know, that's part of it. Well, wait a minute. The verse doesn't end right there, does it? But he that believeth not shall be damned. It's the belief. We get baptized because we have belief. Because of the belief. We don't get saved because we believed and baptized. We get baptized because we believed and then we follow in believers' baptism. You can't just pick and part and choose. This is a whole verse here. I don't even know how they even do that. They just ignore half the verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not. It's what you do with the belief. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? And we got a job to do. We really got a job to do. We got to get out there and be faithful to be telling people about Jesus. Because, listen, the day and the hour is coming where no man will have time to work. There's coming a time, dear friend, we won't have time to share Christ and witness for Him and so forth and so on. It's just a fact. It's our duty to tell people that Jesus loves them, Jesus will save them, and that He is the answer to their heart problem. It's as big, listen, this thing of sin, it's real. I mean, it is real. And all have seen it. And there's a wage for sin. We see it. We see the cross of Calvary and the awfulness that Christ had to go through to pay for our sin debt. There's a payment due for our sin. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I don't have to stand before God and tell Him, well, Lord, I tried to do this, I tried to do that. And He look at me and say, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. Lord, I was a good person. Lord, I even read the Bible every now and then. Lord, I went to church and things of that nature, Lord. And Lord, I even sang a song of Him every now and then when the church said it. And Lord, I was good. And He said, what do you do with Jesus? See, we don't do songs and hymns and read the Bible. And I'm telling you, it'll wear you out. If you're not saved and you're trying to do things just to make yourself acceptable to God, it will wear you slap out. I'll be honest with you. If it wasn't for Jesus, dear friend, I'd be spotlighting somewhere Coons right now. If it was just about reading the Bible and singing a hymn, I'll read the Bible and sing a hymn with a spotlight on my head. That's not what it's about. It's about what Jesus has done for us. Amen. And through us. And boy, I thank God for it. And again, verse 14, 15 to 16, He gets on to them for the unbelief. He gives them the answer and tells them, get out there and do it. Just be faithful to do it and to follow through. And then he says there in verse number 17, 18, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sit at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now these verses here do not mean that these here signs and miracles and all this still follow and come down through the scriptures, till today. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Who? Them that heard him. Those that walked with him. Those apostles. Those that spent time with him. Those miracles and signs was given because they did not have a complete Bible. It was to confirm the work of God. And so forth. Look in John chapter number 20. The Gospel of John chapter number 20. Verse number 30. Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse number 30. 30 and 31, the Bible says in Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So the signs were in operation of getting people to understand that this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is who he says. When he says, I am that I am, this is him. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly, the signs of the apostles were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The signs of the apostles. They're looking Acts chapter 16, if you would, Acts 16. In verse 18. Acts 16 and verse number 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So Paul had these things. Why? Because Paul had seen Jesus. He was there on the road to Damascus. He talked with him. There, and he had these signs that was brought forth and passed on to him and given down. Look over in Acts chapter number 28, verse number 7 and 8. Acts chapter 28, you'll see again. So these were real things that happened, but they were to promote and to give people an understanding that God was who he was and who he is and who he says he is. Acts 28, verse number 7. In the same quarters were possessions of chief men of the islands, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us there 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and of bloody flux, whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him, and he healed him. So these were things that really happened by the signs and the hands of the apostles. But look over here in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also am I known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You'll notice there, it says there in verse number 9 and 10, for we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, the perfect law of liberty, the perfect word of God has come. Now, just like Abraham talking to Luke, in Luke to the rich man, they have the law and the prophet. Let them believe the word. Now there's no need for all these signs and healings and raising of the dead. Listen, I believe the fervent prayer of righteous men availeth much. I believe that there's a healing in the name of Jesus. I believe Jesus does all the healing, but I don't believe no man in this day can stretch forth and raise somebody up out of the deathbed. I don't believe a man can take and stretch somebody's foot and make a lame man make both feet equal at this day. If that's so, then get up to the children's hospital and spend your time there healing people. Go to Moffitt's and heal those people that are dying of cancer. Don't be so stingy with it and want $10 every time you pray for somebody. I believe that those things were real. I believe it happened. It was given for signs, to show the proof and the power of God. Now, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That which is perfect has come. God has given us his word. It's complete. It's whole. And everything we need to know is there and found in Scripture. It's right there. Preachers, there's a lot of good folks that believe that away. Good folks can believe however they want, but we need to believe what God wants, what God says. And he says that his word is complete and his word is whole, and that no man should add to it and no man should take away from it. In the midst. And then all of a sudden, in verses 19 through 20, as he finished his speech, finished talking with them and spending time with them, he began to ascend up. And look at verse number 19 back over in Mark. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sit at the right hand of God. Why did he do that? He had satisfied divine justice. He had fully paid sin debt. He had been resurrected from the grave by the power of God. He had been fully tested by appearing amongst the believers for 40 days and 40 nights. Now he's seated at the right hand throne of God, making intercession for you and I. Amazing story there about in the book of Acts, whenever Stephen was being stoned and about to die, Stephen said, I see my Savior standing. I believe with all my heart what's precious. The Bible says it's precious is the death of the saints in God's eyes of one of his saints. I believe he stands and receives them. I mean, I think he just brings them right on in there. And he sat down at the right hand throne of God, the place to make intercession for you and I. Look over in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse number 34. Romans 8, 34. The Bible says, Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. My, what a job he has as he stands there in our stead, our advocate. He makes intercession on our behalf. Lord, I know he loves you. He made a mistake. Lord, she loves you. Lord, and he intercedes on our behalf, and he's there intermediating for us and there. And not only that, verse number 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. You see, you're not alone. You're not alone. He's going to work with you. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We are not working for ourselves. We are laborers together, striving with each other as we push forth, working with the Lord to carry forth the gospel to a lost and dying world. And this world needs to know that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this evening, for the time to be in your house, for the studying of your word. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, for the book of Mark. Lord, for your Bible, for the 66 books that you have put together that we can study and look through, we can grow thereby. And Lord, like those two apostles that you met on the road of Emmaus, Lord, that was confused and lost in their heartache and their pain and could not see you because of the burden that they carried. Lord, as you mused with them and expounded Scripture, Lord, they found a burden that was relieved. They found a yoke that was light, and they knew you for who you are. God, I pray through study of your word that we would know you as you are and who you are. And help us, Lord, to be that example to others, one that's found faithful to be a disciple of thy word, a doer of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.